Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by our radio ministry, and would like to help support it, gifts may be sent to 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning, we have some birthdays and anniversaries. On the 21st, we'll be celebrating Tyler Nicholson's birthday. The 23rd, we have Bill and Margaret Strong's anniversary. The 25th, Kathy Ashcraft has a birthday. 26th, Jerry White has a birthday. And also on the 26th, Jimmy and Lori Paffenberger will be celebrating their anniversary. Our flowers this morning are provided by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Tyler's birthday. And our radio is sponsored also by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Tyler's birthday. For our radio announcements, we will be sharing that Friday, December 24th, Trinity will be offering our Christmas Eve service at 7 p.m. Please join us for our candlelight service with lots of music and a drama of Mary and Joseph.
And now we will be blessed by Trinity's choir singing a very special song for Christmas.
Increasing.
All right, so this morning we will have our scripture reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 10, followed by our sermon by Pastor Angel Abshire entitled Celebrate Christmas with the Wise Men. And Angel Armstrong, I am so sorry.
It's okay.
It's been a morning. All right, so the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem was with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, we have spent these past few weeks of Advent with some very special characters. We spent the first week with John the Baptist, and then Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then shepherds, and even some angels. We have one more visit today, and that will be the Magi, the wise men. I have a couple of little things to help me telling the story today. Judy came in just in perfect timing and brought me some ornaments, and these are our wise men, or wise man and wise woman. I have a star that we too will follow, because we follow the star, the light of Jesus Christ. And I have one more thing. This was given to me long ago. It says, nevertheless, she persisted. When we seek God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, we will find him, and he will reveal things unto us. He will impart joy. He will impart peace. He will impart words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and he will give us an understanding by which we can understand one another. But beloved, we must seek him. He doesn't chase us down. To give us these treasured and beautiful gifts, we are called to seek him. We do not even know where the Magi, where the wise men were from. We're not even really sure what exactly they were, other than we do know that in the Eastern culture, the Magi were considered to be noblesmen, to be wise men. They came from far east of Jerusalem, following a star, seeking to worship the Christ child. These men were considered advisors and counselors to kings. They often interpreted dreams for the kings. They often interpreted what we would consider signs and wonders, and they gave the kings counsel. Now, we know that just as today in Bible times, there was both good and evil. There were both charlatans, false prophets, and wise men who did not always impart the truth of God's word. Wise men were sometimes referred to as conjurers. Some of those wise men, instead of just using astronomy to follow the stars, to see direction, they used astrology to try to predict the future. They used various oracles to try to guess ahead of time things that may be coming. Now, there are beautiful and wonderful gifts of prophecy, and there are wise men like Daniel in the Bible. There are prophets who were given words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Nothing's really changed from the Bible times. There is still war. There is still love. There are still wolves in sheep's clothing. Today, we contend with psychics who pretend that they have power from God. Psychics, mediums, tarot card readers. That's what some of the wise men did. They just used slightly different tools. It was called divination. Okay, I talk. However, the true wise men, like Daniel, who during the time of Babylon and the exile guided the kings, stood for what was true, what was proper, and taught people that even in the greatest of oppression, you will indeed be rewarded for doing what is right, for standing for God, rather than worshiping an idol, rather than worshiping a 90-foot statue. Even though Daniel was threatened with everything from being thrown into the fire to losing his position in the kingdom to death, Daniel still chose to do what he knew was right and to pray to and to worship his God. Beloved, when we stand for what we know is right and we do not let the world crowd in on us, we receive things that are so much more blessed than any material Christmas present could ever bring. When we receive deep in our spirits true joy, true peace, when we search and scour the Word of God and we hear, like a lot of the prophets did, when we hear His voice in the wind, when we hear His voice deeply resounding in us, nothing can compare to that feeling. Some of this may sound rather heathen, and it was, but not always. The Old Testament Daniel was referred to as Magi, or as one of the Babylon wise men. He proved to us that you could be Magi, you could be a wise man, you could deliver prophecy and still be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly what the star was that they followed, but we do know that it fulfilled a prophecy of Balaam. Balaam was an evil prophet. Numbers 24:17. The prophet Balaam foretold the coming Messiah, saying, "A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel," proving that even evil has to succumb to speaking truth when that is God's will. What we know is that that star was used by the Holy Spirit to direct the Magi to where the Christ child was. And that when the Magi finally got there, it wasn't in the stable, and it wasn't a babe in arms. It was a toddler child. You see, as we heard this morning in the Advent candle reading, Herod had ordered the death of all baby boys under the age of 2 years old because he was so jealous, so filled with jealousy, that he fretted over a tiny baby. He fretted over a toddler, fearing that that child would then take over his reign and his kingdom. We're introduced to the wise men as seekers. What is a seeker? A seeker is someone who searches out someone or something. In this case, it was both. Searching out the Christ child, searching out the light and truth of the world. What does it mean to us to be a seeker today? I am quite sure that if the wise men were here, that they would say to us, now that the Christ has come, be a seeker. Seek him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your spirit. You know, we would never directly say it, but we have this tendency to believe that God is going to dump all that we pray for right in our laps. He's just going to give it to us. And when he doesn't, we're not happy at all. But we forget something. God was not created to chase us down. We were created to worship God. We were created to bow low, to submit before him. We were created to rely upon him. And he will indeed answer our prayers and so much more. But first, we must seek him. Listen, beloved, to the word of God. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord, your God, you will find him if you look for him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And then 1 Chronicles 28:9. And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with a wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Psalm 119:2. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart. And then 119:10. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. My favorite hymn tells me that I am prone to wander. And then it gives me opportunity for me to bow low and submit to my God and say, bind my wandering heart to thee. And every time I sing that, I use that as a prayer. Please, God, I know myself. I know humanity. We are prone to wander. We are prone to wander in our thoughts. We can sit here in the service and be listening and write a grocery list in our mind. Or we can have imaginary conversations with people. I know I'm prone to wander. I know I'm prone to wander from what the Bible tells me to do. So I beg of him, you help me. You bind my wandering heart to you. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You know, those wise men were on to something. God things. Major God things. Knowing what's happening in the life of someone that you're praying for. Be given someone's face in the middle of the night and be trusted by God to pray for that person. Major God things, good things happen to those who seek God with all of their hearts. And the best things, the very best things, are the things that we are able to do for someone else. When we are able to pray for someone, when we are able to give to someone. And I'm going to challenge you, find ways. This Christmas season, we've got a week left. Find ways to give to people without them knowing that you did it. Find ways to fulfill your heart and your spirit by being a giver. By seeking him with all your heart, by praying for others, by asking him, translate one heart unto the other. Help me to understand that person. Help me not to be crushed by the way that they treat me. Help me to put them first in my life. I know you all have done it. But it changes our life so much. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be agents of change. We are called to be grace givers. And these are among the greatest gifts that we will ever receive. But our God does not chase us down and deposit these gifts in us. He has deposited within us spiritual gifts. And when we practice them, and when we practice seeking Him with all of our heart, we receive the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace. I'm not so sure I like that long-suffering one. But you know, when we're going through difficult times in our life, that long-suffering can actually be a blessing. Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Lord went through everything that we could possibly experience. We know that others have come before us and they have felt the pain and the things that we have dealt with. God seekers pray with sincerity. I love Jacob, later named Israel. He would not let go. He said, no, you must bless me. He would not let go of the angel, or some say, Christ himself. He said, you must bless me first. What would it be like if we sought God so deeply, with all our mind, with all our heart, and with all our spirit, that we said, I will not let go until you bless me? Now, that blessing might not look the way that we expect it to look. That blessing might not be easily achieved. For the greatest blessings that we have come through the refiner's fire, come through the fuller's soap, come through the piercing of our spirits, to where we drop down, we bow down, and we submit, and we say, not my will, but yours. I love David Crowder's song, Let It Rain Down On Me, Lord, Let It Rain Down On Me. Has anyone's good time turn to bad? He sings of pain and sorrow with a jubilant voice, because he knows that it stretches us, it changes us, it develops character in us. He sings of the work that God is doing in his life, that refining fire. Bowing down in submission is real worship. And it takes place during that refining fire. You know, yesterday I came in here when our Spanish church was in here singing. They had been down for lunch. We worked alongside of each other in the kitchen. Mark and I went out and ate with them, visited with several people. And there was a new family. There was a father of six. His wife died 9 years ago. He so submitted to God that he took a different job doing insurance and stayed home so that he could homeschool his children, because it meant so very much to his beloved wife. And these were the best kids. They ranged from 10 to almost 18. Six. That's a pretty short period of time there. I don't know about y'all, but I had the stair-step kids. That's not an easy thing. And this man had raised up amazing children. They were so polite. And one of them preached their closing sermon. I came up here, and they were singing and worshiping. And I felt the Spirit grab hold of me, and I began to worship as well. And he called me aside, and he said, Sister, are you bilingual? I said, no, no. But I recognize the Spirit in any language. in any language, and I worshiped with all I had. They had the most amazing children's message. What they do is they come back in the afternoon and they try to get all the children involved and they try to have them help teach. And they had this young man, I don't think he was more than 15, did one of the best sermons I have ever heard. I gave his dad my card and I said, I want that young man here. Bring him here. I want to hear him preach again. This children's message had a piece of paper with a dot in the middle of it. And he asked all the children, what is this? Long story short, this is our focus upon Jesus Christ. And then they started speaking truth. They said, when we walk into the church and we focus on Jesus, we don't focus on all the things that distract us. We do not focus on the things that we tend to criticize our brothers and sisters about. We do not focus on the things in the service that we might not care for. We focus on Jesus, and we are lifted above all of those earthly petty things to a point of true worship. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh were significant gifts, costly in so many ways. And the symbolism to each of them is so rich. We will go over that again on Epiphany. But I feel quite sure that if the wise men were here today, they would tell us to be seekers, to be worshipers. And they would say, now that Christ has come, be a giver. You see, they knew you cannot outgive God. Anytime you choose to give, whether it's a monetary gift, whether it's a homemade gift that you have made, nothing could thrill me more than what Judy brought me this morning. Every little piece of it. It is a nativity that hangs on my Christmas tree. Ornaments mean so very much to me. Every ornament on my tree has a story and a history. And this is a silly little thing, but all of the ornaments that she painted have an iridescent sheen to them. That is my favorite thing. I believe iridescent is a color. These were the most precious gifts that I could have possibly received. Bring your mind, your body, your heart, and your spirit in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And pray with me, wise men and wise women. O Lord, when I in awesome wonder bow down before you, how you impart your sustaining joy and peace and love. The best gift ever has already been given. For when I remember that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that we might be reconciled unto him and we might live in eternity, how can I possibly lack anything? How can I possibly complain about anything? The best gift ever has been given. Seek with me in prayer, and then again as we turn to worship. Lord God, I ask that each and every person in this room would have a prayer answered for them, a prayer that is buried deep in their heart, not one of material things, but the richness of fully knowing your spirit, the richness of having something imparted to them that would mean nothing to me, the richness of having wisdom, knowledge, and even better yet, Lord, understanding, so that we understand one another and that we understand those in our family. Lord, I ask that this season they might bow down and that they too might say, let it rain, and sing with joy.
In Jesus' name, amen.